Be contemptuous right off the bat, but just looking at him, he does have an ugly necktie. At least one. But I don't want it. That thing's long enough to make a pair of pants for me. An old man went down to the cemetery. He was in there and he was agonizing, saying, "My life was joy, and now it's misery. It was all bright, now it's utter darkness. I was completely happy, and now I'm miserable. Why did you leave me?" A few men passed by, young men, said, "Sir, is this your wife?" He said, "No, it's my wife's first husband." If you're henpecked, you can flip that around the other way. I just ain't henpecked. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I was just sitting back there thinking, boy, wow, it's good to be back in Black Creek. I appreciate that singing. Thank God for that singing. Did you laugh at my joke? Good, because your wife's behind you and she can't see. I got that, Brother McVeigh, after I called that woman Battle Axe.
Yeah,
that's where I got that from. Somebody sent that video out and said, hey, I appreciate that. 1 Samuel chapter 15, please. It is good to be here, and I'll be honest with you, I've been looking so forward to being here, not just to be with you, but I was glad for the first time to be able to bring a little glory with me.
How about that?
Stand up, babe. I want them to see my glory.
Amen.
When the fire station went off a while ago, I felt like running outside going, she's here. She's right here. But don't put it out. God bless you. I love you, babe. Smoke show. Bible says in 1 Samuel 15, verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts," I preached along this text in my own congregation, but the Lord's given me something different and stirred my heart with it, so I'll give you what I got from him. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. I laid wait for him in the way, when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel, and this holy word, ass." I like saying them holy words, amen. I just like it.
That's right.
That bothers people.
Yes, it does.
But it's a holy word.
That's right.
God's simply saying that I remember how these people did my people. He said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." God don't forget things. God don't forget how people treat his youngins. Oh, no. And he don't forget how his youngins treat him. No, God don't forget. These Amalekites were a stumbling block and a hindrance in God's people's life. I said they was a hindrance in God's people's life, and God wanted them annihilated.
Amen.
God didn't want anything to hinder his people.
Right.
Now go, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp of Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. That has some significance right there, that they are dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead? The young man that told him said, As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon a spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me, Stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he cannot live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head, and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my lord. Then David took hold of his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, Whence art thou? And he said, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, Go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. In the previous text, God had commanded Saul to kill off the Amalekites. And the story goes on to say that Saul went to do so, and partly he did. But when he came back and he began to tell Samuel, he said, I did as the Lord commanded me, and you know the story. He said, I went down there and I done as the Lord said, and Samuel looked at him and he said, Then what meaneth this, the bleating of the sheep that I hear and the lowing of the ox? Why do I hear sheep, Saul? Why do I hear those oxen down there? If you did what God said, why do I hear what I... Oh, you have to understand, Samuel, I saved the best of the best to bring back to the Lord. We want to praise Him. We want to give Him a sacrifice. We want to offer Him the best of the best out of that land. Samuel said, That's fine. That's all good and dandy. But here's the problem. That's not what God said. God said for you to go down there and to slay them and slay their children, slay their wives, and slay their animals. He don't want anything alive. He wants them completely annihilated. Now here you are, Saul, and because of your disobedience, because of your rebellion, we got to bury a bunch of daddies out here today. A lot of people had to suffer because he thought he had a good idea. So many times, we got a mind of our own when it comes to the Word of God. So many times God said something in His Word. He spoke to us directly and we began to make excuses and have other rationings or reasons behind it. If you read the story, you'll see that Saul took it upon himself to spare some of the stuff that God commanded him to kill. And here comes David. He's walking along and a man comes to him and tells him that he's watched as Saul fell upon his own sword, but he didn't die. So Saul asked this man to finish it. Would you finish killing me? I just think it's kind of wild or ironic or crazy that the very thing that God told him to annihilate is the very thing that came back and killed him because of his disobedience. Saul said, Who art thou? He said, I'm an Amalekite. If you'll go back, them's the people that he said kill. He should have never seen that boy on the battlefield. That boy should have never been able to take and finish that off for him, because if he'd have done what he said, it wouldn't have come back and haunted him. In other words, he said, I'm exactly what God has told you to kill a few chapters ago. You should have done what God said. I came to tell you today that if God has never or ever spoken to you, if God has ever one time laid a finger on anything in your life, listen to me. It can seem as if it's the most minute thing on planet Earth, but if God has laid his finger on it, it's the extreme opposite of minute. If he's ever laid his finger on anything in your life, you better get after it 100% and get it out. What are you saying, preacher? Because it's going to come back on you. It's going to get you. So many times we feel as if we've got away with this, and man, God's really just brushing it off. But I promise you, the chickens is coming home to roost. They will. They'll come get you. It's not going to just affect the people that's guilty. It's going to affect the people around them. It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your marriage. It'll affect the people around you down at the house of God. It just has that effect on you that it doesn't just bother you. It doesn't just destroy you, but it'll destroy them as well at the same time. Understand this, Saul didn't commit adultery. Saul didn't smoke a joint. What Saul did do is he rebelled and disobeyed God. You don't have to come in some of the fashion of sins that we label as so bad. I'll be honest with you. What's any worse than rebellion? What's any worse than disobedience to God? So what, you didn't smoke a joint this week? So what, you didn't get drunk? I couldn't care less about some of that. What about your rebellion against the holy God? What about your stubbornness? And what about your unbelief and disobedience towards God? So easy to point our finger at the drunk on the street.
That's right.
The addicts in the gutter. While we sit in the house of God on the fine pews in these nice facilities, people has had words from the Lord and God has pinpointed things in their life, and yet all along they just walk away as if they're okay and better off than the dope heads. I want you to think about something when you have a minute to think. I ask my congregation to do the same thing. I'm not asking you about what you necessarily did in your body this week. I hope you did right. I don't even want to get started on it. I hope you did right. I hope you understand that the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of every believer. And I hope that God, that you understand that he appreciates a nice place to live. I was thinking today, Brother McVay, about that nice place Brother John and them's put me up into. And I was thinking about, you know, I wonder why these people's got these walls on this house. Can I just be honest with you? Can I just be honest with you and show some of my heart? I wondered why they built all them nice walls and they put that fancy paint and they spent all the expenses at putting that wainscoting and all that nice stuff around their house and they deck it up real good, but yet they walk outside them doors and they ain't got enough clothes on, bless God, to cover a gnat tying in. Amen. I said the Holy Ghost lives in there. And you don't want to tear the walls down at your house, do you, pal? You don't want to run around in your house naked where everybody outside can see you. So why are you trying to open it all up for the Holy Ghost? Whether you like it or not, if you're saved, he's living on the inside. And he ought to have a pleasant place to dwell. Amen. Preachers are legalists. You can call them what you want to. I've been married for over 30 years. I've been called a lot worse than a legalist. Amen.
Hey.
I ain't asking you what you did in your body. I'm asking you what you did in your mind. What you been thinking? Is it contrary to what God said? That's what Saul did, right? He was the king of Israel. Ain't that exact? He just thought contrary. God said, and then Saul thought.
Right.
We don't know nearly as much as we think we know. When you said something about a while ago, till the saints of God get to seeing their sin for what they really are, Brother McVeigh, I feel as if I'm the least of anybody that should be up here. I'm probably the dumbest one that should be up here. I'm probably the most unlearned and ignorant one that's been up here. But you're the one that's asked me to preach, and I had to just do what God said, and I wish that I had a sugar stick. I wish I could preach real sweet. I had a good camp meeting message this week, and I've already forgot it. Right. I can't. Amen. Not asking you what you did with your body. You can sit in your little self-stinking, nasty, filthy self-righteousness and be wicked as hell with your long dress on. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. 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 With your Listerine breath and everything else that goes along with them Pharisees. Hey, you can be dressed like, you fix to walk into the pearly gates, but I tell you, in your mind, you ain't fit for the doghouse. How you thinking? It's hard to live in this world sometimes when you ain't walking in the Spirit and think right. You can't think right in this whole wicked world. You can't think like Christ when you're not walking in the Spirit of God. How you thinking? You know what God said. About everybody in here pretty much knows things that God said. I figured I might be the least one in here to know things. And if I know what I know, you ought to know it yourself. God's commanded us to have the mind of Christ. We don't have to guess at what that is. Preacher, what is the mind of Christ? Boy, I'm glad you asked. Right there is the mind of Christ. That's everything that he thinks.
Right.
It's all wrapped up. There's no excuse for our ignorance. There's no excuse for stupidity. There's no excuse for not knowing. There's no excuse for not sticking your nose in it. There's no excuse for not obeying it. There's no excuse for you having a mind of your own over what thus saith the Lord.
Yes, sir. Right.
That's right. Saul clearly heard the mind of God. But his thinking, his rebellion got in the way. I know there's good Americans in here. There's no doubt about that. Brother Hayne explained that very clear a while ago. I noticed the nice tarp cooling the heat off of the windows. That's a wonderful idea. God blessed us with a nice shower to cool off that attic space and cool this downstairs space as well. The stripes out in the parking lot, all the work and everything that people's done, the money that people's give. I understand that. We're good Americans. We work hard. If you don't work hard, I hope you starve to death and die. But if you're a man and you don't work, bless God, you ought to starve to death and die. I don't believe in welfare. Got real quiet. I still don't believe in Uncle Sam. I done read the Bible. I tell you what I believe. I believe we're rich and increased with goods and we have need of nothing. If you need a phone, bless God, Obama will give you a phone. If you need a house, HUD will come along and give you a house. Still don't need God. Still don't need to pray. Still don't need to live by faith. I'm telling you, if you need a little money, you can run down there, you sorry hiney. If you can get up off the couch long enough and turn the television off, and you can get your little welfare check. I ain't talking about people struggling, hitting a hard bump in the road. I'm talking about people living this way. If they ain't willing to work, praise God, let's let them starve for a while. God said man ought to work. I don't give a flip what you think about it. I'm not being cocky. I just believe God. You say, preacher, what about you? I work all the time. Amen. I pastor double time. Amen. That's what I pastor full time. I get up in the morning. I run down there to the hospital, stand out in the parking lot because COVID won't let me in. And then I leave there and I go down to the K&W. That's a cafeteria. And I flop my backside down and I sit there and I get me something to eat. Then we get up and we go to the Goodwill. And if we can't find the bargain there, we'll get up and leave there and run over to Hamrick's. And then we'll go back to another restaurant and eat. That's pastoring about full time in America today. What's people agonizing? Why ain't the woods cleared out no more? Why ain't people getting a hold of God? God said we ought to. I don't care what people say. I don't care what you think. God said we ought to. Well, I do all that stuff except going to the hospital every morning and going to the Hamricks and going to the Goodwill and going to the restaurants. I get up and I go to work and trying to keep my schoolboy figure. I try to skip breakfast, you know, and I want to look good for my wife. She looks good for me. Amen. Amen. You'll look good for your spouse.
That's right.
You'll be sharp and right for your spouse. I been there at the Copper Kettle today with my pastorate, and I was watching men with them little ugly girls down there. And I asked my wife, I said, you reckon they carry on that much conversation with their wife? Sickening, man.
Yeah.
If these people seen how nasty they looked and how stupid they sound, they'd probably crawl under a hole somewhere.
Go ahead.
Right. Just how I preach, folks. I'm not asking you about your body. I'm asking you, what do you think? What do you think? Probably already destroyed my time, but the psalmist said this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How do I have right thinking? By taking heed according to his word. How to clean my mind up, preacher? How do we get this mind like Christ? Saturate your mind in the Word of God. I know that's beating a dead horse, but there ain't nothing else that works.
That's right.
Nothing else works. There ain't no new method. There ain't no new system. It's still just God. It's still God. It's God in His Word. It's God what He had to say about it. That's all it is. I just can't seem to get it. Look at me in my God-given, good-looking hazel eyeballs. You don't want it if you ain't got it. You don't want it. Don't you ain't fooling me. Yeah, it's easier, bless God, to get Jesus than it is to get a spouse. Woo! Did I just say that? Hey, black boy, it's easier to get a hold of God than it is to find a mate. That don't go over real good. I mean, that's mighty dead, but I couldn't care less.
Right.
Man, my church don't ever say amen either, so it don't matter to me. Amen. I'm just going to egg myself on. Amen. Eric, every once in a while, I might need you to get up, go slam a door, or fly the seat or something. Just help me out a little bit. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking their heed thereto according to thy word. Jesus said, now you're clean through the words which I have spoken to you.
Amen.
Clean.
Yes.
How can I get it right, preacher? Through the word of God. And here's the problem. Either you obey it or you don't. Either you believe it or you don't. So many people do good things on the outside, but their mind is nothing less than a playground for Satan. It's just a breeding ground for wrong thoughts. Wrong thoughts is in your mind, and they're just breeding more wrong thoughts. I understand some of the turmoil and the torture that goes on in people's minds. I understand. I listen to people talk. I watch people live, and I see how miserable and what a turmoil they're in. And I look at them sometimes, and my wife's sitting on the back pew, and I used to beg her, baby, dear God, get to God. The devil's wearing you out. He's got your mind so messed up. You're thinking it's so warped. You're twisted up in the head. You need to get to God. I ain't saying that because I didn't love her. I said that because I seen the torture that was going on between her ears. I seen the agony that was going on between the ears. I seen the suffering that was going on between the ears. And I got news for you, friend. It ain't just my wife and her lost condition. It's folks sitting in this building, and you're going through the same thing. You want it to right. You want the outside right. But there's something wrong on the inside. So many people do good things on the outside, But your mind is just a playground. The devil's in there doing seesaw and merry-go-round. He'll run some wind sprints across your mind. We've tried to make common practice around the house that, hey, listen, man, if that thought didn't come from God, you need to discharge that. Don't be so foolish to let that stupid junk come out of your mouth. You need to sit there and go, hey, did this come from God, or did this come from me, or did this come from the flesh, did this come from the devil? And you need to be able to discern the difference between what's God and what ain't, and that ain't real hard to do. I tell you, friend, God will bring glory to God. God will bring glory to Himself. The Holy Ghost will bring glory to Him. Jesus Christ pointed to Him. It's all about Him. And I tell you, one of the best ways to know who it is, who's it bringing glory to? Most of it ain't going to bring nothing but a bunch of chaos and hell and confusion in your home. It's best to be discharged. I was thinking about it a while ago when I come in. They called it something else, but when I came in, I seen on the end of this building the complaint booth to the meeting. And best I know, if you've got a problem, if you've got some of them thoughts, you ought to go out there in that booth and wait till the sun comes up real good. That's the best time to get in there and make your confession, fill out your papers. There's a slot in there for you to drop it into. You can drop it in there, and I'll promise you there will be somebody come by and pick up that mess. So help yourself. Brother McVeigh appointed me as the PR guy. You got a problem? Go to the booth. That's where problems is dealt with out there. God told him, he said, slam. Slam, Saul. Don't mess around. Don't leave no nest egg to grow. Old Brother Sammy used to talk about burying the hatchet. Remember, he used to talk about burying the hatchet, husbands and wives with grudges against each other. And he said, boy, they'd go out there and they'd bury the head of that man, and they'd leave the hammer up. The first time he or she made the other one mad, Brother Sammy's a whole lot better than me. But he said the next time they'll run out there and grab the handle and jerk that thing. What you want to do is bury it all. Handle it all. Get rid of it. He told him to slam. I'm so dumb, I don't know what these words mean, so I got the Oxford English Dictionary. And I looked at the word slam, and it means this. And I just like this kind of terminology coming from my God. To strike or smite so as to kill. To put to death by means of a weapon. To kill completely or outright. To annihilate. Brother McVeigh, when I read that, sometimes when I read stuff like that, and I'm not being stupid, I'm being stupid. When I read stuff like that, I go, I almost wish we was in the Old Testament days. Man, I got some people that, leave it alone. To kill completely or outright. That's pretty simple, ain't it? You need some Greek for that? Let me give you the Greek for that. I got the Greek for that. It means to annihilate, to kill completely. Yeah. Let me give you some Japanese for that. I can give it to you in Japanese. I told you I was dumb, but I got my stuff. Japanese means to kill completely. Amen. German means to kill completely. You know why it means that in all the languages around the world? Because that's what God said. Yeah.
Right. Right, bro.
Man, that's all that matters. What He say? You know what I'm trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you some of them thoughts that you have, some of them issues that you have, you need to annihilate them before they annihilate you. You need to nip it before it nips you, because I promise you, it will come back and get you. That thing that God has put His finger on in your life, that thing that God has spoke about, you better take care of that or it'll come back and get you one day. Don't play around with it.
That's right.
So many people playing around with God, dabbling around with God. They're not annihilating it. They're petting it. They're downsizing maybe, but they're not annihilating. They're show up at church and pray a few prayers and shed a few tears and make a few confessions, and then 3 months later they're in the same mess that they're in. You know why? You know why you're in the same mess this year that you was in last year? Because you haven't annihilated the problem. You're still messing around with this stupid junk. This stuff's still on your mind. It's still in your life. Because why? You won't put it under the blood. You won't annihilate it. You won't forsake it and take up your cross and follow Him. So now you're still battling the same old stupid junk. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll read it to you. Don't turn. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Brother McVeigh, I can't help it, but I'm telling you right now, unless somebody's just up and up and fell on hard times, I don't know more blessed God to believe in than welfare than the man in the moon. I'm still getting kickback on some of that. I want to say it again. So people, if you got a problem with that, Brother McVeigh said amen back here. He shook his head, okay? Go see him. Men ought to work. And I got this, I told my congregation, I got this brand new. I tell you, people write what God used red Bibles. Say amen back here, see us. But it's a large print. And I seen things in there, Brother Williams, I ain't never seen stuff like women ought to clean houses. It's in your King James Bible. They ought to raise gardens. They ought to teach them youngins Bible while daddy's away. They ought to cook some meals down there at the house. Amen. They ought to teach them little girls how to be. I found all kinds of stuff. I never knew it was in there. I got me a large friend. Seeing things I never seen. Men ought to work. Man, you work, son. You ought to say amen. I'm not chewing on you. Men ought to provide for their family. Hey, listen. Men ought to not come in, bless God, start barking. We've been so misinformed about manhood. We're going to go in, bless God, put our foot down. They're going to do by God what I said, when I said, how I said. Stupid. You ought to be married to you for about a week. You ought to turn that thing around and go bark at yourself in the mirror for a little while and see how you like it, Toto. That woman's a human being too. Them children are human beings too. Nobody likes to be barked at. Nobody likes to be bit on. Nobody likes that stupid stuff. That's stupid stuff, man. And you don't have to do that. That's a mindset, friend. You can change that. You can annihilate that mess. You can walk in that house and you can be a gentleman. I mean a firm, strong-handed gentleman. Man, while I'm on that, let me go ahead and just clear the air, can I? We got so much of this stupid, depressing stuff going on today, and I understand it's a real thing, but I tell you, there ain't nothing in the world that'll clear your head like a good, hard day's work. There ain't nothing that'll clear your head like digging a ditch out there in about 95-degree weather. You don't have to take pills, bless God, to go to sleep at night. You go out there and you pour out enough sweat and you labor enough, you'll just pass out when you pillow your head. You ain't got to worry about going to see the doctor. No, friend, I tell you, it'll help you, friend, it'll help you. Annihilate that lazy bone in your body. Fight. My people will tell you, I'm not preaching this, putting on a show. We preach this at our church. And we got working people. Man, I'd just get so mad at society, I'd go vent and puke somewhere. Lazy bunch of suckers. Called a man the other day, here I am, 54 years old, don't never phase, don't worry about the sun, don't worry about the heat. Oh, it's hot. It ain't nowhere near as hot as hell's going to be. I'm telling you, man, I'm reminded of hell and some of the awfulest times, but I tell you, friend, go out there and people complain and mully grub, and my goodness, man, I love it. Go home, you got a sense of accomplishment about you. You don't have to wonder and worry and pop a pill to feel better. I tell you, man, a good hard day's work will make you feel so much better. come in and be kind to that little wife.
Come on now.
Since my wife's got saved, Brother Williams, God has smote my heart over and over again. Been pastoring for years. I don't give a flip if my likes or not. They ain't living in my house. I love it. There's honey in my home for the first time ever. We're having the time of our life. Man, 54. We're laying in the bed tonight. We're holding hands. I said, baby, pray for us. And old baby gal, she'll start praying and tears will start flowing. We have a time in Jesus' name. Ride down the road and enjoy the fellowship of the Father. Together, amen. But I tell you, Brother McVay, there's been times where God has smote my heart and showed me my utter failures while my wife was lost. And I'm sitting over there screaming, get to God! Get to God, woman, you're crazy! You're driving me nuts! You need to get to God! God showed me what a heathen I could be. And I was trying, Johnny, I was trying. I was raised backwards and crazy and fussing and cussing and fighting and all that stuff. That's the way we was raised. And I cleaned my vocabulary up. God did just like that when I got saved. Just like that. I thought it was going to be a problem. I had such a foul, filthy, vile mouth. I thought, dear God, Brother McVay was like that. Brother Harvey was up there this morning. He was talking about, I didn't know what happened. And sometimes people go, oh, you want to know what happened. I wish you'd tell that man that in John chapter 9, verse 1. He said, boys, I can't tell you what all happened. I don't know that. All I do know is I was blind and now I see. Yeah. Pretty good. It sounded like what the preacher's talking about. I was blind and now I see. I tell you, God moved in. Yeah. We ain't barking. We ain't growling. We ain't raising Cain. Fruit of the Spirit is not like that, Brother McVay. Man, it's peaceful. We need to learn how to annihilate some of the stuff in our life. It ain't pleasing to God, it don't please nobody else. How many things do we battle over year after year? And yet all we do is cover it up and make excuses for not annihilating it out of our life. How many of us take our problems and start comparing them to problems of other people? That's not how you get rid of it. You can't look at yourself and go, well, I'm glad I ain't in their shoes. I'll tell you something, you're probably just as bad off. That's right. Anybody that'll make that statement is in pretty bad shape. Well, I've been bad, but I ain't never been that bad. I've heard preachers say that. I've been bad. I've been worse than that. Nice. And I wasn't in a gutter somewhere.
That's right.
I had money in my pocket. I was working 50, 60 hours a week, doing fine by America's standards, but just wicked and on my way to hell. Vile. A filthy mind, a filthy mouth, a filthy heart. So many people use these things for security, utensils in their life. Their problems, their past. These thoughts. And the first time something else goes wrong in their life, most of the time they run back over there and they grab a hold of that problem and they use it as a weapon. And they start throwing that vomit out on everybody and spewing it all over again and reliving that mess again and experiencing all that over again. And they end up right back on the bottom, right back in the hole, right back defeated, right back discouraged, right back in miseryville. Because it wasn't dealt with right to start with.
That's right.
Preacher, can you give me a reason, an example? How about bitterness? How about people leaving that root, that just one, at least I got to have at least one root That way, if this sucker hurts my feelings, if they break my heart, if they look at me cross-eyed, if something don't go my way, at least I got something to hold on to. And I can jerk that thing out and start spewing my unforgiveness all over the place. I got news for you. You're not the only one being affected. They had to bury a lot of Saul's men. I'll hurry up. Look at 1 Samuel 15. Have you ever seen God do anything with a lazy man? I can't get... I don't know how many of them I'm not... I don't know how many of them I've even seen get saved. God's so displeased with it. I've never seen him use a lazy man. I've seen him sit around the camp meetings and eat pecan pies till he is all gone. And I've never seen him do anything for God. I've seen him sit around the dining room tables and eat the food like they, you know, deserved it. But I've never seen him do anything for God.
Come on.
Not that I have. I'm just telling you, God don't like it. We need to nip it.
That's right.
I feel sorry for any woman that has a deal with a man that's too sorry to work. Bible says in 1 Samuel 15, then said Samuel, I had no idea that God was going to bury me down in some of that stuff. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. Oh, how sweet. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over him. I looked up the word delicately. Now listen, I worked the word up delicately in that Oxford English Dictionary. Delicately means this, in a way that gratifies the senses. Whoa! Hello, social media! Hello, World Wide Web. You're in there. I knew when I got this new big Bible, I'd be able to see things different. It means in an indulgent or pampering manner. It means softly. Also in a way that causes pleasure or delight. Is this exactly or what how sin is?
What?
So delicate. So sweet. It's my little sin. So good too. My little sin. It's exactly how sin is. So that's what my sin now, preacher. Oh no. Oh no. Don't you mess with my sin. This is mine. This is mine for the saving. It's mine for the keeping. And I promise you one thing. It's going to come in real handy. I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to come back and bite you one day. You may think that thing is soft. You may think it brings pleasure to your senses. You may think that it's kind to you. But I can promise you one day, it's going to destroy you one of these days. And it won't just destroy you. It'll destroy the people you love the most. Sure it will. Seems harmless. It presents itself in a way to cause pleasure. I know people that have taken dope for years. And they used to go fishing while they was on dope. And then they got off of dope, and I told Brother Dale this morning, besides all the phony testimonies that I hear, I know some people that struggle with drugs their entire life. And I know the people that's up there shooting heroin and smoking crack cocaine and mixing fentanyl with it. And I know people that's in that stuff and they just as soon be dead. A lot of them just soon be dead. That's why so many of them end up taking their own life. So many of them commit suicide by overdosing on purpose. Hey, friend, but at one time they had an opportunity to annihilate this stuff, but they pampered with it, and they played with it, and they kind of tucked it away, and they kept a few little feelings down there, and then one day when things got tough, they whipped it back out, stuck a needle back in their arm, and now they're dead in hell. It got them. Fine. Woo, man, it's so fun to die and go to hell, ain't it? I mean, must be. But nobody gets to go anymore. You can be a sodomite, a drunk, a dope, and live like hell, and die and get to go to heaven today. I was at a funeral about a year ago, and I know the old boy, and I ain't trying to hurt him, but I tell you, he was hell bound, son, with a hammer down. He was a sodomite. He was a dope head. He sat around. He was a drunk. And I'm telling you, friend, he played in a rock and roll band. And he went over and preached. And one of them independent fundamental Baptist preachers, King James, a toting Bible believing Baptist preachers, stood up at that funeral with a handful of my family and preached him right into heaven. So I said, oh, you did such a good job. Bless you. I got all my people together. I said, I don't give a flip what you think about him. I don't give a flip what church he pastors. They ain't never been a bigger lie hatched into hell than what he told you tonight. And I want you to leave out of here tonight thinking you can live like hell and die and go to heaven. One of them was a lesbian. I looked at her, I said, you go to hell for being a lesbian.
That's right. Come on.
You get saved, God will take the lesbian out of you.
That's exactly right.
I ain't never seen a sodomite get saved and remain a sodomite. I've seen some get saved, a couple.
That's right.
And I've seen God give them wives and give them children and give them families and give them churches and give them hope and give them homes. And I've seen them come out of that mess. They annihilated it through the blood of Jesus. I'll witness to a sodomite just like I will a whoremonger.
Come on. Yes.
Don't make no difference. They all have a soul. People in my family is crossed over. Expect me not to love them? I love them. I love them. The right's right. What God said is right. I know people that's done that dope, Brother Williams, and they used to go fishing. I know one man that got off of dope, I'm talking about heroin, and he got off of it, and he went fishing. You know what he told me? He said, man, it ain't no fun no more. Something's wrong. I'm out there fishing, and something's missing. It ain't the way my mind was thinking it was going to be. I said, that sin will come back and get you. Something as simple as fishing can be ruined. Something as innocent, something that you're to be able to take your little boy to and stick a pole in the ground and throw a hook in the water and try to catch a little bluegill or something, can be destroyed.
Right.
With stuff that we're not willing to annihilate.
Right. Right.
I know people. It's got them clicking buttons. Oh man, it enhances your sex life. It's going to come back and get you.
Yes, sir.
Because I know some of the people that's been caught up in that and they can't even carry on the simplest task with their own wife. It's destroyed it.
That's right.
It's destroyed it. Right. It came back and got them.
Yeah, that's how
they weren't willing to annihilate it. They wasn't willing to put it under the blood. I mean completely under the blood. And now they spend time with their wife and they can't even have that time together because it's come back and destroyed things in their life that can probably never be fixed. Once some of those things is released in your brain, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's undoing. It's unrepairable. You can't take some of that and put it back and expect to go on and just live your little happy, merry life and things is going to be normal. No, sin will destroy the simple things in life. I'm trying to be off color, and I was thinking about Joe Biden giving $300 for children. Everybody's got a young kid, $300. I told my wife, I said, praise God, let's have about three. And then Brother John texted me last night and said, you know, you get $300 per child. And I got, Brother John, I laid down there in the bed and I was all googly-eyed and I went, I wouldn't take $300 to raise a young one today to say my, you can't even hardly feed a sucker for that. Come on. And then I went down there to the copper kettle this morning, Brother McVan. I looked across the street and I went, lo and behold, Uncle Sam, oh, there he is. He's giving me free child care. So we've done put it back on the table. Why not? We can feed him for free. We can keep him for free. We can clothe him for free. We can house him for free. Rich and increased with goods and have no need for God. Whatever happened to the just shall live by faith?
That's right.
Whatever happened to that?
Hey.
Whatever happened to a good old-fashioned prayer closet where you was in real need, amen, and Uncle Sam wasn't going to bail you out? King Jesus was going to be the one to bail you out. God the Father had to be the one to bail you. When's the last time we just knocked the dust and the cobwebs out of the secret place and went and got a hold of the horns of the altar and said, God, I'm not letting go till you meet this need in my life. And watch God pay that bill. Hey, amen. I got three people that agreed with that. Four people. Five. It's good. Sin's going to poison things in your life if you don't get rid of it. A security blanket, that delicacy, has a sword that will someday slay you if you don't take it to God and put it under the blood. Brother Don Green was preaching on YouTube, and I guess he was afraid to put the whole thing on there. He started getting real good. He started getting on women wearing them short skirts and stuff like that, and they cut him off. And I thought, dear God, I just never started liking it. Amen. Amen. I don't, my wife don't wear it. So I get in on it, boy. But they said, he's preaching on that dirty deck. My mama never lost in all. We never had a deck of cards in the house. Mama was lost and she annihilated some things. She said, there ain't going to be no cards in this house. Them cards are against God. It's a mockery. She said, that joker there, that's supposed to represent Jesus Christ. Jesus ain't a joke. Brother Don Green was preaching on that dirty deck, and I love it. Amen. And he said, somebody said to me, well, preacher, I just didn't know. He said, well, yes, you did. I told you. I'm telling you tonight, you do know because you've been told. That's right. Let me ask you a question. Those torments in your mind, what you going to do with them? What you going to do with them bad attitudes and wrong spirits? What you going to do with that little secret sin? If you don't do it God's way, it's going to get you. I'm a dad. I got three boys, and I hold them dear to them. We'll bust heads and do all that good stuff, but I can tell you, man, I love my boys. I love them. I don't agree with a lot of stuff that Zach Dutnoff with the other two does, but I love them. But as a dad, Miss Sharon, I get to see my kids now at 54 years old. And I see a lot of my flaws. I see things that I didn't annihilate. The things I see in them that I don't like is things that I should have took care of with God. I can stand Brother John Asquith up back there. He's got 1,400 youngins and he can testify the same thing.
Yes, sir.
He sees things in his kids that's ugly. He loves them. But that ugly stuff, he gets to see himself in that. Mom, Dad, it's going to get you. It's going to destroy your friendships. How many friendships has been destroyed over sin? It'll destroy your character. You look in the eyes of some of these little beautiful girls. Pure, honest, happy, innocent. Just fun loving. I've done it for several years, I understand. And now I can look at Psalms 18, 19, and 20. And that innocence is gone. That fun loving is gone. That happiness is gone. Sin's gone. It's easy to see when that sin takes root in somebody's life. It's hard to hide in expressions in people's eyes and look at a man's face and see the turmoil many times that's going on down in his heart. And I get sick and tired of watching these kids fall by the wayside. I think many times, Brother Williams, if I could do it over again, I'd probably mess up twice as bad. But I believe there'd be some things that I changed. I believe there'd be, Brother McVeigh, some things I would have annihilated out of my home and my life. I pushed sports. Not hard, but the fact was, if you're going to play, you're going to be the best that you can be. We didn't do anything half-hearted. If you're going to play, I'm a hard dad. We'd go out there and play baseball, and the boys would be facing a boy that was older than them that could really throw it. Full of the devil. Really throw it. And I see fear in one of my boys' eyes, and he didn't want to face him. The kid could throw it, but he was wild. He was effectively wild. He might hit you in the head. He might strike you out. And I seen it in my boys once in a while, that fear, and they would want to bail out. And I, as their daddy, would take them to the ball field, rear them back, and hit them with baseballs. I said, you're not going to be afraid. You're going to stand in there and do your job. I didn't say that was right. I'm just saying what I did. I wish I'd have pushed John 3:16 all the way. I wish I'd have pushed memorization on them like that. I wish I said, no, you're going to get it right verbatim, word for word. Every comma, every period. You're going to get it right. You're going to do it again. Let's get it right. That's the life of your soul, son. Get in that book. Destroy things. There's marriages in this building right now that are hell on earth. There's not harmony in your home. You're not fooling me. It's not psychotherapy. Y'all are existing together. You're not really fellowshipping and enjoying each other's presence. And man, you're not walking in love. You're just getting through this thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, if both of you would get on an altar somewhere and annihilate some things that God has put his finger on in your life, you could have honey in the moon. way better than back everybody. I don't care if nobody else does. I'm just glad you're with me tonight. Me and her just having a time in Jesus, I'll tell you that. We on an airplane down in the airport. And them old nasty Buffalo people. Don't babe us, got their bed sheets. I found that in that King James Bible too. Women don't be washing their bed sheets and keeping their husband's clothes clean. Boy, she just died on me.
Right away.
Gonna make the Holy Ghost lay down in a filthy mess. I'd be ashamed. I want to give him a clean place. Right. I want to give him a clean place. Man. Some people would never make a half-decent Christian because they can't even make a half-decent sinner. Won't cook a meal, won't clean a house. Come on. That's right stuff, boy. If you can't take that, you'll never be able to see yourself like God sees you.
That's right.
Amen. Because God sees you a whole lot nastier than that. That's Sunday school material right there. You're to lay stuff on the altar. Let me ask you a question. When are you going to lay that unbelief on an altar of annihilation? When you gonna lay them excuses down? I get sick of it too. Ain't nothing but, boy, we act concerned, don't we? And we are concerned. I'm not acting. I'm concerned about people's soul. But you gotta sit there and listen to all that stuff. And in the back of my mind, I'm going, shut up! That's an excuse! It's just an excuse! Lay it on the altar, son. Lay it on the altar. That's a lie to hell. Lay it on the altar. God died to save you. Lord, I believe. Would you help my unbelief?
Yes.
We can do it during youth week. But one hash is running in September. David Brainerd didn't take no time off. You stayed with God till God saved you. And then I read my Bible, and I seen where Saul didn't go through none of that. He was just on his way to imprison some more Christians, and God saved him. Who art thou, Lord? I mean, it didn't take him a long time, did he? Just got right on in, praise God. Wonder why God, thank you, Holy Ghost, Wonder why God, now Holy Ghost just told me this, could take the sun, the moon, the stars, all that he done in 6 days. All that, Brother Ron Williams, how did God do every bit of this in 6 days? But yet he can't save a man in 2 or 3 years.
That's right. Come on.
Why in the name of God can he create it all in 6 measly days? But yet you have to keep fumbling around and just filtering around and fizzling out and jumping in and falling out and jumping in and falling out. I'll tell you why. Because you got a mind of your own. The stars don't. The sun just did what God said. You know, you could shine like the sun if you just do what God said. You could have your home in the heavens if you just do what God said. You got too many thoughts contrary to what God said. And you ain't annihilating them. We'll get there. I'm going to quit. That unbelief. That disobedience. How about that rebellion? How about that stubbornness? Can I tell you what God said about your stubbornness? You're a witch that's full of idolatry. I seen that in that large print King James Bible. It says witchcraft and idolatry.
Right.
We would look down our nose on a witch. God said, you're just a witch yourself. And all the little gods you've got, they're me gods. them things that you've created, or some that man, other man has created, all the little idols in your life, when are you going to annihilate that? You're going to get rid of it. I'm quitting, Brother McVeigh. I've told it over and over. When I was a boy, we'd go to church. And I had a good pastor. He preached. He preached so good that we never had a full building. I mean, he really preached, and I think about it that way. We never had a full building. It was always just kind of patchy. But man, he would preach. And he wasn't popular. He stayed at home and he pastored. He didn't hit the road evangelizing and building a name for himself. He was just a good man. And we would go to church, and my stepdad would lead the singing. Man, he'd get a hit smile, say, "Hey, brother, God bless you. God bless you. Hey, Chris, good to see you. God bless you." Smiling, shaking people's hands, singing them songs. Church would be over. We'd go get in the car. I'm a squirt. And he'd look at my mom and say, "You GD female dog." A little boy. That's my mama. And it would hurt down deep. Hurt. I said, "Man, we ain't even got out of the church parking lot. He's over here using the Lord's name like that, calling my mom a female dog. And that thing would get to hurt me, but it made it on the inside." And I'd watch them stand toe to toe and go at each other like two men. Mom was tough. He'd knock her down. She'd get up, smack him right up by the side of his bald head again. And I'd just, "Yeah, get him, Mom." My stepdaddy, I was pulling to her. Sin causes all that. I hated it. And that's the very same spirit that I had when I met that little girl back there. I didn't beat her and I didn't call her no GD female dog. But I tell you, I had plenty of other words to substitute them. And I had that same spirit. Like God, there ain't no woman. I had the same spirit, same attitude. And the very thing that I grew up looking and making me sick and despising, the very thing is the very thing that I saw in the mirror. It'll get you. It'll get your children. I'm here. I'm done. I want to ask you something. Nothing there. Brother Donnie Harvey's here, and if you need preaching, pick up your phone and call him. He's here for you. He'll preach to you. You say, "How do you know?" I pick up the phone and I call him when I want to be preached to. I don't even ask for it.
That's right.
Brother Harvey just bootlegs, man. Phone. The Bible said, "Ring, ring." I tell you, Brother David, what I seen in the book the other day, it's on. I just put the phone down, turn the speaker on. I just enjoy.
Thank God.
Hey. I love it, preacher man. Amen. Brother John's here. If you need help, Brother John be who I call. He's a friend indeed.
Amen.
Friend. If you need some good sound wisdom on some matters of the home, Brother Ron Williams here. God bless you. Get the phone coming. Hey, if you need to laugh, I'll give you his number. Everybody ought to have his number anyhow. Call Brother Travis Clayton. You're going to laugh. I say stuff all the time. "Oh, Brother David, you make a pole cafe head finish and nail number 5. I was using his own stuff the other day. Kimberly was with us, and I was using his own stuff against him. He didn't know what to say. I said, "Oh, Brother Clayton." And he just got quiet. I went, "I better not do that no more." I answered. Gracie was born, and Brother Clayton will tell a lie too. He'll lie in a heartbeat and make you laugh, make you happy. And Gracie was born, and Zach came, "Hey, Brother Clayton, look at my newborn baby." He said, "Aw, ain't you cuter than a speckled puppy under a wood wagon?" Lying like a dog, little ugly bald-headed thing. Looked up there to Mama, and Mama was purple. I went, "Dear God, man, are we aliens now or what? Is the truth coming out?" "Run, Zach, run!" Brother Clayton will make you laugh. "You need a pair of shoes?" "You need a shirt?" "Mr. Emporia, he'll help you. He'll help you. And he won't ask for nothing in return. These men won't ask for nothing. You want some criticism? My number is 997-0890. I got you. I got the criticism section. How you going to annihilate it? Run to God. Put it under the blood. I said a while ago, and I'm shutting up. The just shall live by faith. He keeps egging me on. If I've lost y'all, it's his fault. The just shall live by faith. Listen, do you know when I left the state of Mississippi, I was in there pastoring, 2 weeks before I got saved, I don't know if they did or not, but 15 people, 2 weeks before I got run off. And I say saved, about the same difference. I said Mississippi. Man, they eat each other down there. I couldn't wait to get out of Mississippi. I went up in my deacon's yard trying to get my paycheck. I was fighting to get my little measly $300, and I literally saw a human jawbone, upper teeth. I wished I'd have known then what I know now. I'd have picked them up and saved them. I was going to need them one day. My wife was like, "Oh, dear God, look, it's a human jawbone with teeth in it." And I went, "Don't ask no questions, honey. Let's just get the money and go." Y'all think I'm making this up? I'm not making this up. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. I didn't ask no questions, and I didn't get the $300, but my wife did get in a fight. She stood toe-to-toe to that woman. "She's going to get my money." "A woman going to get my money, son. I guarantee you that." "15 people. 2 weeks before they asked me to leave for the 75th time. I didn't leave until God the Holy Ghost told me to leave because he's the one who told me to go. They said, 'Don't come back,' and I'd go right back because the Holy Ghost didn't tell me nothing different. I was that stupid. 15 people said they got saved, Brother John. 15 people. The last 2 weeks that I was there, 15, God moved through there. I seen people get gloriously saved. I seen dirt come in. I believe God saved old dirt. I seen Danny come in. I believe God saved old Danny. I mean, name after name I could go through. I believe God saved them. And they asked me to leave. Brother McVay, I left because God, the Holy Ghost told me to. The Holy Ghost said, 'You're done.' And I put me up a chair like a man right here in the front of this building. I said, 'Okay, have at it. Let's go. You do and say whatever you need to do and say.' And I sit there and I was held accountable to them. Whatever they had, accusations, whatever it was, I sit there and gave an account for everything that they brought up against me. I didn't run from it. I told my wife, I said, 'Keep the kids at home. Y'all stay at home tonight. I got to do something.' Didn't want to see how bad this was. Didn't want to scar my kids anymore. Stay at home. I'll handle this. Brother McVay, I come home, and I tell you, brother, it was a battlefield most of the time. I'm not whining, but they was firing darts flying at me 2 weeks after I got there. But I got home and found me a little seat of complacency. There wasn't no firing darts flying. And I sunk real low, Brother Williams. I sunk real low. Did I miss God? Should I have went down the road and started another work in a storefront or something? I started asking all them questions. What should I do? And that old man that's hanging on my wall back there at my church, Brother Pat McNair, he said, son, God said the just shall live by faith. Pick yourself up, knock your dust off your shroud, and get after it for God right where you're at. Before I knew it, God put me in the place where I am still to this day. In the perfect will of God. What did I just say? I had to live by faith. Young lady, when I'm laying on the altar, I ain't walking up going, wonder if God got it. It's there by faith. I took it to the altar. It's under the blood. It's over. It's done. I'm done. God's got it. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I hope I did right by you, and I pray, God, that you could use it for your glory. Help us, dear Lord Jesus, to get this stuff out of our life before it comes back to get us. We want to stand before that throne one of these days. Some will be cast into the lake of fire. Some, dear Lord, will get to enter in. But I pray, God, whatever it is, Lord, that's hindering folks, I pray, God, that learn to put it under the blood. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Give me a piano player.